and he can give it to whoever he wants to, whenever he wants to, how he wants to. I don't care about, I know he's a savant, I know he's a, he started playing at 9 years old, was backing up as a backup artist professionally at 13. I don't care about that. I care about what God gave me.
Amen.
If you want to hear that again, that's a, an artist called Joe Bonamassa. The album name is From Nowhere in Particular, and the song is A Bridge to Better Days.
Amen.
Just the way God would do it. From Nowhere in Particular, A Bridge to Better Days. It's the only album that he puts out and plays that that song sounds as good as it is right there. I don't know how many times I've listened to that, but I can't get over it. Did that insult anybody?
No, sir.
Come on up, we'll pray for you if it did. Just remember, God owns all music.
That's right.
And he can use it without permission anytime he wants,
Amen.
Any way he wants.
Amen.
Remember this too. As you as you're given the ability to use music, Satan was once a praise and worship leader.
Yes,
so music can build you up or can tear you down. Always always be careful how you use it. All right. This morning, I want to let you know that I come to you in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Now if you want to know the basis behind what I just said, it's in Psalms 118:26. And it here's the way that God, well, I've trained some people in another church to say that, to do this. Anytime I say, I come to you in the name of the Lord, they say, blessed.
Blessed.
And what I've explained to them is the way God gave it to me was that the minute that you call me blessed, it opens up your blessings.
Amen.
What does it say, Bill?
118, what was the verse?
What did I say? 118:26, yeah.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord.
Okay. If I want to bless you, two things have to happen. I have to be blessed, and if you say blessed to me, you've accomplished that. Second, you have to be blessed, because this is not a one-way street. No ministry is one way.
Amen.
You have nothing if you have nothing to give. So you open your doors for blessings. That's what you're going to get this morning. And you said,
Amen.
All right. I'm disappointed at the crowd. I'm disappointed in your excitement. You don't mind if I step on your toes just a little bit?
Nope.
What I always want out of you is that something is for you, you say so.
Amen.
Because
amen.
It's not yours until you say so.
That's amen. Right.
That's what amen, which means so be it is. You can say that's for me. You can say that stinks, but at least vote. Okay? Don't be afraid to. God hears your heart, so your mouth might as well be abundant and speak.
Amen.
Okay. I want to show you a couple of things this morning. Everybody that knows me knows that I love the book of Genesis. The whole entire creation from front to back and then some is in Genesis. You don't even have to read Revelation if you read Genesis.
Right.
Jesus is in Genesis. The Holy Spirit's in Genesis. Everything is in Genesis. So if you'll turn to me, I'm going to read a very familiar scripture to you. It's Genesis 1, and I'm probably going to read just a few verses. You'll get the picture. I want to point out a couple of things to you and how to handle them. I want to show you God's formula for good. Any idiot can give you a formula for bad. It takes a minister, the Holy Spirit, to tell you that, was it Jeremiah 29:11?
Yes.
What does that say?
I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord.
They're good.
Plans
for a future.
Good. For hope and a future.
Right? Yeah. Therefore, anytime a minister stands in front of you, if they don't give you hope, good, and a good future, they're not a minister, or they're not the minister you want to listen to.
That's right.
And everybody said?
Yeah.
Remember I told you I want you to vote. So,
Remember,
in the spirit realm, when you vote, it happens.
Man.
You've been given a mouth, animals weren't. You've been given a tongue given by God so that you can speak into existence what you do not yet have.
Yeah.
And if you don't speak, you'll never have it.
Right.
Okay. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. I'm excited. Y'all can hold me down a little bit, but I'm going to get more excited. Amen. That's right. That's a vote, too. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
That's right.
Who created?
God.
Okay, we got it right. I'm just seeing if you're listening. The earth was without form and void. Who created the without form and void?
God.
Oh, my goodness. And darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Now, I'm going to submit to you this morning, in fact, I'm going to direct to you this morning, that you have a lot of without form and void that you created. Mm-hmm. You did it. Mm-hmm. God, I told you, God didn't write the Bible for our enjoyment. He wrote it so as we look at it, we can see how He did it, and then we can figure out how we got to do it. Mm-hmm. Okay? It's an instruction manual. So here it is. God, I don't know when the earth was created, but He had a piece of property, or He had something out here that was without form and void. And by the way, since you were created from that earth, you were in it.
That's right. Amen.
So He wasn't just looking at dirt and water. He was looking at you.
Amen.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Come on, stay with me. Because I've suggested two things to you now this morning. One, before the foundation of the earth, you were created. Your name was given. God knew the hairs of your head. He had them numbered.
That's right. That's right.
And yet they were without form and void.
Yes.
He also had something else. He had, let's call it a ministry, that was without form and void.
Yeah.
It was dark. Mm-hmm. And He didn't like it. He didn't care for it. He didn't care for you being without form and void. And He didn't care about His earth being without form and void. So now we're going to get instructions on how to change it.
Amen.
What we've created that isn't prospering, that isn't ministering, that isn't producing, we've got to speak to it.
Amen.
Yes.
All right?
Amen.
We don't speak about it.
That's right.
We speak to it. I'm used to humid climate. I may drink a lot of water this morning. I've got cotton in my mouth. Mm. Okay. I'm not going to read every note because it's too long, but I'm going to give you a picture. He wanted production out of this. What the Scripture is going to lay out to you, that what you're going to see initially, is that you say it and then you see it. That isn't written properly here. And I can give you reasons why, but just a minute. Here's what He did. He began to do without form and void. He spoke light into it. It says, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. What this said is God spoke it, and then there was light. Can I submit to you? What was light? Okay, if we have been given this assignment, if I see a problem here and I've got to speak light into it, what is light? If I've never seen light, what is light?
Truth.
Don't get theological on me. I ask you a simple question, give me a simple answer. What is light if you've never seen light? I don't know. I don't know. If I've never seen it, I don't know what it is. So what I'm going to submit to you is that God had a vision of what light was supposed to look for, and then He spoke that vision into that darkness.
Amen.
So all things have to start with a vision. Whether it's God-given, whether it's Word-given, either one's God-given, but you know what I mean, or a visitation, you have to have a vision if you want to correct something.
Amen.
Too many of us want you to be corrected, but we have no vision of being how. I want this church corrected, but I have no vision of how. That's why things go down the tube. And then I have to be bold enough to speak my vision. And then I have to be at peace enough to believe that I get it.
Amen.
Okay. And then I have to make another step. And God saw the light. When did He see it? After it was there? Or had He already seen it?
He already saw it.
Did it instantly happen? Or did it take a while? I don't know. Let's put it this way. He saw it, and it was good.
Amen.
So what do we find out? We find out we never speak bad things into anything. If we want to see good, we've got to speak good. The number one rule here that you must understand is you're going to get what you say.
Right.
And you're going to get what you see. Because you're going to say what you see.
Right.
So if I've determined that my friend here, Richard, is worthless, and I see him that way, then that's what I'm going to get out of him.
That's right.
Without form and void will not change unless I say I'll not have you. I'm going to speak something else into this. Now you know good and well the underlying current here. I'm going to speak the problems about this church. But I spoke this last Sunday morning and there weren't these problems at that church. So it's true yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
You're going to have problems all your life. You're going to have to know how to take care of them. You're going to run into people that aggravate you. You've got to turn them into what you see as an aggravation into a blessing. You've got to figure out how to do that. You've got to ask God. You've got to believe God for that person's change. He may give you an ability, a word to speak, a vision, and then you speak that into Him. Richard walked into this church. This is years ago. He was beat up, run down. He had somebody lording over him that wasn't God, directing him all the time. And I began to speak Do you remember, Richard?
Yes, sir.
Back then, I wasn't quite as bold as the way I am now. I just was telling him what he's going to be. Now, you know, it couldn't be my faith. Richard's just slow. Maybe I didn't have a full understanding of how to get it quickly is what I'm trying to say. But Richard is beginning to step up into that position where I've always seen him to be.
Amen.
I've never had trouble seeing him as someone that sees.
Amen.
God is in charge of the stages of this, the working out. But you know what I did, and you'll see what happens here? I said it's good.
Amen.
And I have rested in that word ever since I've said it.
Amen.
And it even causes me to repeat it once in a while. But I'm resting in that.
Amen.
By the way, how did I get this revelation? It's called open the Bible and study. Ask God, I need a word for your people. And then you go to your back room, you go whatever formula that takes you, and you get a word from God. You get a vision from God. Then you have something you can speak. Otherwise, shut up. Excuse me, I like that term. A lot of us need to hear that once in a while. What happens is, and this is something I propose to the church, when, let's just say you and I, were standing out there in darkness, we'd gotten used to darkness. It was comfortable.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, this big ball of fire comes. Are we going to say, thank you, God, for the light? Are we going to say, oh my God, there's a fire in the sky? Why are you saying that, Stan? Because I want you to know that change comes. And it may not come according to your expectations.
Yeah.
It's just going to come.
Amen.
To some, it may look like a fearful thing. To those that are in Christ Jesus, those that have had a vision, those that know there's going to be change and it's going to be good, then it's just light.
Amen.
Yeah.
Because we already know that no weapon formed against me is going to prosper.
Amen.
Well, what does that mean? That means I'm going to prosper against every weapon.
Amen.
Always reverse scripture. It works real well. Amen. Therefore, I'm not going to shake and I'm not going to worry. What I'm going to do is expect good out of what change I see God bringing.
Amen.
And God says, it's very good. So our example is, no matter what we see, we speak it and say, it's good.
Amen.
Now what I I'd like for you to do when you leave this morning is that everything you run into, red lights, stop lights, bad drivers, it's good.
Amen.
It's good. Snow, hail, I don't care what it is. You need to proclaim it to be good. If you want it to be good, you're required to do that. If you want it to be bad, just keep saying it bad and you're going to get it.
Yeah.
By the way, the basis of this, of everything that I believe, is Mark 11, 22, 23, 24. Would anybody like to quote that to me? Surely you haven't forgotten.
Save the mountain. Do not doubt. It will be moved.
Okay. All right. I think you better read that. Evidently, you haven't been reading it enough. I'm going to pass a good moment to increase your faith. Mark 11 says, have faith in God.
That's 22.
22. Go ahead.
23. For assuredly I say to you, whosoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says.
Whatever he says.
Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, and believe that you receive them, and you will have them.
Now, God could not have given any other command than that, because in Genesis he showed you how it worked.
Amen.
He said to darkness, be removed and cast into the sea, and he never doubted, and he had what he said, and he called it good.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
God's the same yesterday, today, and forever, all through the Bible, never changes. So we've been given not only a suggestion, but you just call it the 11th commandment, you're going to get what you say. Okay? And so now, if I expected the mountain to be bad, it would be bad. If it's in my way and I expect it to be removed, I said, be removed. And I don't doubt it. It didn't say if it doesn't jump out of your way instantly, it just says, no doubt. You'll have what you say. Well, if you say just what I thought, you got what you said. That's positive and negative. If it didn't move and you say just what I thought, you got that.
Mm-hmm.
If it jumped out of your way, you say, just like I thought.
Amen.
He did it again in verse 9 and 10. He said, then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place and let the dry land appear. And it was so.
Amen.
Now you understand dry land had never appeared. Therefore, if it were you and I speaking to this mountain, this problem, we would have been speaking something from a vision, because we would have to have seen something that didn't exist.
Right?
So I see dry land. I need a place to walk. I need dry land. So I said, let there be dry land. Sure enough, there was dry land. And God said, it was good.
Amen.
Well, what if some of it was desert? It's good.
So good.
What if some of it were mountains? It's good. Don't ask me again. Just write down, it's good. In fact, the next few days, with his visions and his words, he created us.
Amen.
And he called us good.
Good.
I just skipped over an awful lot and went straight to the heart here. I've heard a few things in the last number of weeks and days where some of you weren't good. And I have not believed that, because that would go against the word of God. Because he said, it's good.
Amen.
I got another word for you. He didn't stop there. Once it all went together, in Genesis 1, verse 31, I want you to look at that and make sure that I'm not lying to you. Then God saw everything that he had made. Did he make you?
Yes.
Everybody didn't answer me. Did he make you?
Yes.
One more time. Did he make you?
Yes.
Watch this. And God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good.
Amen.
That's far beyond.
Yes.
Good. Now, let me give you a formula that God just laid out. I'm going to explain it to you. If you will call it good, it will turn out better than you ever expected.
Amen.
And it will be indeed very good.
Amen.
But you have to be patient to see that indeed very good.
Amen.
You have to be faithful to say it's good. Our model here, far beyond anything you'd ever think or ask. Right?
Right.
Don't forget some of the things that I laid down as foundational here. Because God laid them.
Amen.
It got too quiet. You can be excited. It is legal. We see it in the Spirit. We say it until we tangibly see it.
Amen.
Now I want to show you what you do after you call something good. Can I do that?
Yeah.
All right. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. Or even 1, 2, 3. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. Why? Because God said so. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Verse 3. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. Okay. If we want light to remain, we must rest in the fact that I spoke it.
Amen.
And it's good.
Amen.
If I want the mountain to be removed, I can't go every day and check to see if it's still there. I need to rest in the fact that it's done. And it's good.
Amen.
This is God's formula. Now let me go one step further so that you'll know that God has never left his rest. What when he said about you, indeed, very good, he's never changed his mind, because that would take an effort. He's in his rest, in the fact that the earth is the way it's supposed to be and you're the way you're supposed to be. Oh, does that mean I don't have to change? No.
Amen. That's right.
No, because he's perfect. And so far, we're trying to be perfect.
Amen.
That means we're not yet there.
That's right.
So what that means is that I have to practice every day to rest. Now, I know that sounds like it's an arguing term, but it's not. See, the greatest work that you'll ever have is the work of faith.
Amen.
Which is resting in the truth.
Yes.
The truth that God has spoken and the truth that you've spoken.
Amen.
Do you understand when you speak truth, that's God? And you must rest in that. I told you the greatest thing that ever happened to me one time, and I did it in total ignorance. That's the way God is. He sometimes makes you do things in ignorance, and you just catch up with the genius that he had committed in you or through you. But I was fighting a situation, and I was just about to... I know y'all have never gone in this direction, but I was just about the end of my rope. Just about to say, you know, just bring on the water again. I'm tired. Let's flood the place again. And let me too. I'm tired. And it dawned on me that that was a stupid thought. Does it not say cast down every...
Yes.
All right, let's cast it down. It's a stupid thought. When you say stupid thought, that's casting it down.
Amen.
And I said something that I didn't even understand, but I realized that I sealed my fate. And I said, God, I want you... I wrote it down. I said, God, I want you to understand something. This date, from this point forward, I will never argue with you again. Let me say it. This doesn't sound right, but it works. No matter what I say from this point forward, you point to this day, and that's what I mean. If I'm frustrated, if I say anything, but right now, I'm yours. I'll always be yours. I'll always do it your way. I'll never go another direction. Nothing can change me. There's no weapon. There's nothing can pluck me out of your hand. This is the way it is. And I said, if I ever get distracted again, please, you look back at that commitment and understand that's what I mean.
Right.
And I can't tell you how much that's helped me. Because he reminds me. Because
Amen.
I spoke that into existence. And he's resting in that, and now I am.
Amen.
So if I say something good about you, you may not perform instantly, but you will.
Amen.
You will. Because God has put in me an authority called a tongue. And as long as it's in agreement with God's word, nothing can stop it.
Amen.
Are you telling me I have dominion over you? Yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
For good. Are you telling me, Stan, that I can make you go to heaven? No. No. God will not let me override your final will, which is to choose him or reject him. But I can do what the Bible says. I can say, like it was in Deuteronomy, I lay before you today life and death, blessings and curses. I highly recommend you choose life.
Amen.
And you're really weird if you choose death.
That's right.
Yeah. There's something wrong with you. And maybe you shouldn't be in heaven anyway if that's what you're going to choose. I don't want to associate with you then. But I love you, and I'm going to do everything I can. Like God does, I'm going to spend the rest of my days believing that you're going to make a right choice. And if you don't, to hell with you. Isn't that what the last word's going to be?
Yes.
Okay, it's all right for me to use it in context. I want no one to go to hell. No one.
Yeah.
Anytime you hear anybody say go to hell, they have committed extreme treason. Because that's totally against the will of God. And you must understand in your heart, that's treason. That's traitor. That's terrible. It's terrible. All right, stay in peace with what you say. Let me prove to you that we are to do the same thing. Genesis 2, verse 8, 9, and 10. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. Everybody understand this. Eden is the earth. The garden is a place in the earth where God's at. That was the Old Testament. The New Testament is God is everywhere. So we're supposed to be living in Eden, the Garden of Eden right now. And there he put the man he had formed. He didn't let us stagger in, find it on our own, lost, stumble around. He placed us there. God's the same yesterday, today, forever.
Amen.
And now, by the way, let me tell you something. If God takes you from there and puts you in here, this is the only garden you're going to find. Every place else will be something wrong. God does not just call ministers. He calls people.
That's
and
right.
He puts us in churches to minister, to tend the garden. He put the man whom he had formed, and out of the ground the Lord God made every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good. All right, rule number two. He puts you. Number two, if you're willing, you will see everything is good and pleasant. Unless you want to commit treason, like they later did. They didn't do that because it looked bad. They did it because they made a bad decision. I'm not going too fast, right?
No.
Don't forget amen once in a while. Now, verse 10, now a river went out of Eden to water the garden. Now, why'd you read that one, Stan? Because not only did he put you there, and he put the soil to grow it, and he made it pleasant, and he made it look good and smell good, he watered it for you.
Amen.
That's right.
All you had, what does tend mean? We were given an order to tend the garden. What does tend mean? Well, at least be there. What does tend mean? Well, God, every once in a while, he's always there, but once in a while, he shows up and he wants fellowship. And if you're not there, you're not tending. God didn't place us here to work. He placed us here as fellowshippers with Him.
Yes.
Just
yes.
be where He puts you.
Yes.
And everything's going to be great. Well, how do I know? Because you're going to call it great. You're going to agree with Him and stop murmuring. You're going to stop worrying. You're going to stop seeing things as bad. Why? Because that's the way God did it.
Amen.
Don't you understand that if He looked at you and saw who you really were, He'd send you to hell instantly? So He must still be looking at us as good.
Right.
Then why don't we look at each other as good? We all like to look in the mirror and say, you good. But it's a lot more difficult to look at Bill and say, you're good, Bill. Oh, he's going to get the big head. Oh, God has a disinflator promise.
Yes. Yes.
That's not a good word, but anyway. So God's vision for the earth was not just light and dry land and water separated from land, but it was also for good for man.
Amen.
Good man and good for man. Rest in perfection. Now, do you one thing that's not here? Do you remember why they found themselves naked? Which is not a God word; it's a man word. Why did they find themselves naked?
Because they disobeyed.
He said, "Disobey."
Huh? Because of knowledge of evil.
Knowledge of what?
Good.
We already had the knowledge of good.
Yeah,
we found a knowledge of something else. And it's not, it's evil. So, number one, anything but God is evil. All right. That wasn't, God told them it was there, so that didn't make them lose their true virginity. What caused them to lose it?
Disobedience.
You said disobedience again. Can I say something to you? See, the knowledge of evil is that evil was always out there, but we didn't see it because we chose to listen to God, yeah. obey God, be yeah. where He's at. So if we always do that, we will have no knowledge of evil. So if all I can see is bad in you, I've got something wrong in me.
That's right.
I've already experienced something I'm trying to put on you. All right. Now, why did they lose their covering of God, which caused them to realize they were naked? It's because they decided to make new rules. Surely God wouldn't be. Surely God wouldn't do. They listened to that voice. Listen to the voice. You can't stop the voice. The voice is always going to be there. So don't be insulted because a voice comes. Just don't make the wrong choice.
Amen.
What they did, God told them, you partake of that, which is disobedience. And the minute you do, you die. Well, they didn't die. Or did they?
They did.
They died from the perfection that God put them in. Their invulnerability, their bulletproofness died. Why? Let me sum it up in one little phrase. They decided to create their own world. They weren't satisfied with the world God created. They wanted to look right over that fence and see if there wasn't some greener grass on the other side.
Yes, yes.
And the tempter, the temptress, you call it what you want, came and said, oh, God's good. He's not going to do that to you. Push the limit. And listen, the minute you look over that fence, you're going to find out I was right. You're going to find better things. God's withholding from you. We were already in perfection. What were we expecting to find? Ever since then, guys, we put the Word of God to one side and we decide to recreate our world with different words than God put in us.
Yes.
It's the words that you don't want to partake in. I'm not going to turn back. God's got me on a path where I'm getting more and more understanding about this and I'm going to keep going. I'm not going to be tempted to turn back. Let me say it another way. Let me say it the way you need to learn to say it. There ain't nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do to make me think bad of you. In fact, you can be bad, and I'm not going to think bad of you.
Amen.
You can be the dumbest thing I've ever seen, and I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to be tempted. Because, see, I brought a message, Patrick can print it out for you sometime, but it's called Looking Through God's Rose-Colored Glasses. And the rose-colored came from the stain that the Jesus' blood got on the lenses. And from now on, all he can ever see is through those rose-colored glasses means he sees good. That's all he can see. You and I need to be the same place, in one accord with him. This church is not bad. There's nobody in this church is bad. There's some people that made bad decisions. So have you. You want to be held as accountable as you're holding them? You better watch out. Seed time and harvest is real. This old boy's a farmer. I can tell you, I've never planted corn seed and not get corn. The trouble is, I got more corn than I planted. It's a law. The Bible says as long as you look over there and you see the sun rise in the east and set in the west, the law of seed time and harvest is in effect. It's not sinner or saint. It's a law.
That's right.
So if I seed good, I'm going to get good seed. If I decide you're no good, I'm going to get no good seed. Right. Or I'm going to get exactly what I see.
Yes.
Now here's what happens. Because none of us have always been in the garden. We've always found a way to try to be smarter than God. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Let me... You've got a projector, you've got a screen. Let me make a suggestion to you. The minister that is prepared will have scriptures that are prepared. And he can hand those to you, and you can put them up there as we go. And nobody has to turn. I'll say that one more time for all the ears that need to hear. A minister that is prepared has scriptures that are prepared. He can hand them to you, and you can show them to the people. That's called communion. That's called feeding. Okay. Now, therefore... that's a habit. I look back and make sure it's up. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. So we have promise now. I have promise for me, and I have promise for you. Where we've screwed up, there's Jesus. And where there's Jesus, there's a new creation.
Amen.
Let's cast out the garbage that we've been taught in religion, that we're born in this bent to sin body, that we're destined to sin, we'll always be sinners. New creations are not required to sin.
Yeah.
They're not required. And if I can start saying that, and I can start believing not only about me, but about you, then I won't look at me as a sinner all the time and you as a sinner all the time.
Yeah.
I'll start looking at you as a new creation.
Amen.
And by the way, you'll be forced to look at me that way.
Exactly.
By the way, how many of you want to beat up a newborn babe for messing its britches? Well, then when we talk about new creations, we might also be talking about some immaturity.
Mm-hmm.
And let's not kill anybody for being what we were, at least.
Exactly.
For those of you that think that you're mature. You know, I got three grandkids that got three stall-fed calves. That means they're still in the bottles. Okay? They go out, and all you have to do is shut the back door 100 yards away. It's 100 yards from my house to the barn. And those calves are over there going, well, you can do the interpretation. You know what that means. It's bellowing, but they're asking for something. This world is asking for help. It's asking for food, Bill. This church, people come in here and they're asking to be fed. They're not asking to be told what to do. They're asking to be fed. So here's what mature people do. They feed the calves. Why do you feed a calf? To do what?
To feed calves.
Now you see ministry. They're going to provide for me. We call them hamburger and T-bone. And but it's still contributing to the ministry. That's the point here. I'm feeding them. I'm trying to feed you this morning so you will grow up to the point where you no longer will be bleh, but you will answer bleh. That makes sense?
Amen.
You have to love people enough to deal with perverts and dummies. Why? Well, you have experience. You were one.
Yes. Yes.
If you aren't one right now, you were one.
Right.
A little grace, a lot of grace, a lot of mercy will get you a lot of profit. It's called seed time and harvest. If I give grace, I get grace. If I give mercy, I give mercy. If I give word, I'm going to get word. If I give to you, Harry, that you're good, you're going to be good.
Amen.
Yeah. That's the way it is. Why? Because I've told you before. If I'm here, I'm going to tell you that until I brainwash you. Nothing else. If you have a hard time believing it, I'm going to tell you until I brainwash you.
Good. More clean brain.
By the way, washing of the word is biblical.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
All right. I want to back this up again with another verse. Proverbs 29:18. Let me read it to you. Proverbs 29:18 says this, where there's no vision, the people perish. So what am I supposed to do up here? Here I am. I don't want you to perish. I don't want anybody in the world to perish. So what's my job? I have to create a vision here that's bigger than you. God saw the earth without form and void. That's me and you. He had a vision that was greater than without form and void. So he spoke it, and he rested in it, and he believed it, and it happens. So what's my job from here, right here? What's this church's job? It is not to look for the beauty. It's to look for the crud and speak to it.
Amen.
Yeah. You act startled. Man, where should a sinner be?
Right here.
Right here.
Well, then you won't get mad when there's a goofy sinner that walks in here and says goofy things. If you get mad, you fail them. Yeah. They're hurting, they're dying, they're going to hell, they're looking for somebody that can speak a good word. What's a good word? Man, you're good. God loves you.
Amen.
Most people have to squeeze that out. They forgot Genesis. Who fathered mankind?
God.
So there must be some God in everybody.
Yes. Yes.
Are you looking for the God in the person? Are you looking for the screw up? Well, start in the mirror if you're looking for the screw up.
Yes. Yes.
The Bible says if you judge you, the world can't judge you.
Right.
So if you want a defense against judgment, then you must go and say, I don't like that in you. You stop that.
Amen.
From this day forward, you will not do that.
Amen.
Speak to you like you own you, because you do. You know what the dumbest thing in the world is? I'm 400 pounds and I look in the mirror and say, you're thin, you're thin. Oh, please. Call it what it is.
Yes.
And then tell it what it's going to be.
Yes.
Don't call it what it is and stop. Don't rest in that. That'll not create any change. But you in your own mind have to determine what you're doing wrong before you can repent, which
right.
is change.
Yes. Yes.
You do that. You practice that in your life and God will use you to minister to others. But if you don't practice judgment of your own self, you'll never minister to anybody.
Yes. Right.
Because you're not malleable. You're not formable. You're not clay. You're just a hardhead. You've decided you're perfect. You don't need change. I don't need change. Mm-hmm. Let me give you an example. A couple of examples where a vision came and we acted on it. I give you one biblically. Abraham, too old to have kids. God gives a vision. You're going to have a kid. Abraham says, tell me how that's going to work. And if you don't like that, look at that thing. She's 100 years old. You're a little late, God.
Uh-huh.
He didn't do that, did he?
That's right.
He said, what? He got a vision. And instead of arguing with God about the vision, he said, okay. I swallowed hook, line, and sinker. And you know what happened? His wife became beautiful and young and productive because he believed the vision. He spoke the vision. Hey, woman, you looking good. You thinking to have a baby. And she's looking at us and said, with that? No. But the vision got into her. And all of a sudden, that wasn't that anymore. It was something else. It wasn't just her that became young. He became young. They shared a vision. And guess what happened? Became the father of many nations just like God spoke. That's a good, exciting, biblical answer. Now let's bring it down to what we really do every day. By the way, Noah was given a vision. You think Noah built a boat according to specs? He did after he got the vision. You know what he got a vision of? A flood. Well, there'd never been any rain. How do you get a vision of flood when there's never been any rain? Because he believed God showed him something. Just like God showed me something about that song, it can change your life. God showed him a flood where there wasn't a flood. And old Noah got up and said, whoa, I got to find a way to float. And God said, here is how you're going to float. Amen? Right. And he spent the rest of his life on a vision, building a vision. Everybody said he's crazy, by the way. Everybody said he was crazy. I'll bet you a dollar his kids told him he was crazy until the flood came. Kids are that way. Glad I never was a kid. Come on. I'm being sarcastic. Y'all get, don't. Now let me tell you one that happens every day. Now if I were home, I'd call a good hamburger chain called Whataburger, but I'm not here. You got garbage like Burger King and Taco Bell and blah, blah, blah. So I think that's Burger King over there. You guys get hungry and you go up to the counter and you say, I want a hamburger. You have a vision of a hamburger. You have a vision of this hamburger meeting your needs. Go in the back room and see what it looks like before it's a hamburger. Go look at the hands that are preparing it. Go look at this pile of lettuce, this pile of, I think it's meat. Look at this pile of without form and void that you have just ordered. No, you didn't order that. You ordered a hamburger. If they bring out what you ordered, in their minds, this is a pile of crap. Nasty, dirty, you're not too sure you won't put it in your mouth. But you ordered a hamburger, and you're already drooling because you've already seen it. The digestive enzymes, scientifically, they start flowing. You're ready to digest your vision.
Yes,
amen. It's not the vision of the guy that's unpacking frozen soy meal. Sorry, Burger King. You get that and you eat. You partake of what you saw, not what they saw. Okay? That's as practical as I can get it for you. You need to, as a spiritual being, you need to decide what it is that you want. And I don't care what that person, place, or things look like. You order it according to your vision and make it come to being. Amen. People, don't let people argue. Don't let people argue out of something that God has given you, which is a vision. If the praise and worship team needs to be changed, you get a vision and then you believe it to change. Amen. You don't make it change. You don't have creation ability in you except for your faith. It's the only way you'll create in your faith out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. God will back up. But here's the cool part. Noah didn't know how to make a boat waterproof. God did. He was doing what God told him to do. Put some pitch. Put some tar on this thing. And Noah's never seen anything leak. He's doing what God told him. I don't think he liked to put pitch on. It was nasty. Ruined a lot of... His wife was fussing all the time about the tar on those jeans. He hadn't even fussed with her. You old coot. You know, put something else on. Nobody knew what was happening except God did. So when you're believing for something, when you're going to make it happen with your faith, don't be surprised if there's still not a few challenges. Just rest. Just rest in the vision. We've already quoted about the plans God has. We need to stick to those. Okay? By the way, when God gave me these applications, my wife had just gone to the store. She decided she's going to fix a pot roast. And she came back with this ugly thing. I mean, the wrapping was all frosted, frozen, trying to thaw, and it wasn't thawed, dripping here, frosting here. And you're going, don't look like a pot roast to me. And she had this bag of carrots, as far as I was concerned, was still dirty, and they're laying over there. All these onions, onions. She didn't have a vision of those individual happenings. She had a vision of the pot roast.
Amen.
So she went and got what it took to make the pot roast.
Yes.
When it came out, it was good, indeed very good. You see what I'm saying? Amen. We can take things without form and void, and we can make them, put them together according to the vision. My guess is, have you ever cleaned a house? A dirty house or a dirty car was never a goal. But you went out and touched it to make it clean. Got a vision of that? You can touch things and make them clean, but you first have to touch it?
Yes.
And you might get a little on you? Most Christians don't want any on them. Now let me give you another example. I told you I'm not religious at all. You'll never hear me cuss, but I might use some words that you don't think ought to be in church. Get over it.
Amen.
I'm part of the Setliff family. The company's called Setliff Companies, and Dural Properties went together and bought a feedlot to go along with the elevator. And this feedlot, the goal is, right now it's about 1,500 head. The goal is to reach 13,000 head of cattle, feeding daily. That's an awful lot of crap. That's an awful lot of crap. Why would anybody want that much crap? Huh? Man, that's just a piece. I'd never have 13,000 head of cattle to get crap. There's money out there. The reason you do that is there's profit out there.
Yes.
But most people don't want the crap. They just want the profit. Now, church, do I need to use the word crap anymore? Or have you got the picture?
I got the picture.
Just yield to the fact that you're going to get some on you. But it's for the profit.
Yes.
So volunteer to get crap on you. I don't know what else to say. Don't need, done that. I want to submit to you there's two types of sight. We're subjected, by the way, as I was sitting with Richard the other day, I heard some boldness begin to come out of him. I remembered what I realized a long time ago. In fact, I even told you one time, you have a great advantage of being without sight. Because most of us, our greatest temptation is our sight. I look at you and I see the tangible instead of seeing the spiritual. I look at a situation and I see the situation, I don't see the promise. Now, don't anybody go going blind, because what you do is you control what you've given. God's given you sight, God's given you words, He's here. You make it fit. You don't fit it, it fits you. I will control my sight, I will control my hearing, I will control my mouth. Okay, two types of sight. One is physical or tangible. Let me tell you what it is. It's never stable. I can see Richard right now. See the way he's dressed? He won't be that way tomorrow. I hope he won't be that way tomorrow. Physical sight always changes. And let me give you a promise that's true. It's mostly discouraging. You hearing me? Physical sight is mostly what you see doesn't increase your faith. So should we be relying a lot on what we see?
No.
Then how come we get mad at each other? If I have a problem with you, Craig, it isn't spiritual. It's got to be physical. That means I've placed a physical trait above a spiritual gift.
Yes. Yes.
It's a good time to say amen, even if you don't like it. It's a real good time. Let me say something else to you. If God doesn't have a problem with me, why do you?
Amen.
If God loves you and I don't, I wonder who's got the problem.
Uh-huh. Yes.
If God thinks that you need help and I think you need killing, who's got the problem? Well, come on, don't. I'm just being honest with you. I've said it publicly to you. It's a good thing I'm not God, because you'd be dead. Now, don't tell me you haven't felt that way.
Oh, yeah.
I guarantee you felt that way about yourself, about your dog, about your car, about your job. That's why we shouldn't rely on that. The other is spiritual. It's always the same. It's always good. It's always God.
Amen.
I'm combining several messages here to tell you. You're going to change the world. You're going to change people by saying, seeing them good and saying, and then you're going to move further than that. You're going to start calling everything good. Everything is good.
Amen.
You're going to get out of your vocabulary that anything in this world is bad. People are not bad. Places are not bad. Things are not bad. Nothing ever bad happens to me. And I don't ever do anything bad.
Amen.
What are you saying? Stan, you're perfect. Yes! You don't believe it? Ask God. He'll tell you.
Amen.
Why? Because he's wearing rose-colored glasses.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
He sees me perfect. The Holy Spirit comes and shows flaws without condemnation, which is still perfect. That's called suggestion. You and I call it suggestion. I was riding with Harry, I think it was yesterday or the day before, whatever. And I said, Harry, would you be offended if I called your car blue? And he said, no, it's blue. And I said, would you be offended if I called it ugly blue? Now, you know what I just did? I went from truth to an opinion.
Right.
One is a lie, one is the truth.
Yes.
So I'm a child of God. If you call me an ugly child of God, you put an opinion in and it's not truth. You've tried to taint a vision.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm not overloading you, right?
No.
Well, I wish you'd said yes, because I kind of got overloaded the first time I heard this one. You know, when God puts that on my heart, I go, I don't think I can say that. I know some people. God, I don't think you saw that guy. There's two stages of faith. There's an immature and there's a mature. Immature faith does this. I'm going to say what I want and wait to see it. Immature faith is I'm going to say what I want and I'm going to wait to see it.
Right.
Now this definition of immature faith is based on what we just studied about how God did it, not how I suggest it. Mature faith is I see it in a vision, in a word. I say it and I rest in it because I know it never fails. I'll say it again, mature faith is God gives me a vision, through a word, through a message, it hits your heart. It's now your vision. Now I say, that's my vision. I don't want any more darkness. I want light. I don't want any more poverty. I want wealth. I don't want any more sickness and dis-ease. I want health because God's given me a vision. I read the word. I saw the vision. I saw the promise. I'm taking it. It says no weapon formed against me will prosper. Therefore, guess what? There's no weapons against me.
Amen.
What does that mean, Stan? You're not a weapon. Well, then what are you? Well, you're a child of God. You're either my friend or my foe. You're my brother or you're not. I make a decision. By mature faith, I call you friend. Why? So that you won't be my enemy.
Amen.
I got to choose. It says choose this day. Life, death, blessings, or curses. So I choose, Harry. I choose. A guy I don't like, I like him. No, but I love him. Doesn't say I have to like him. It says I love him. How come? Because I look hard enough to see God and I love God. Come on.
Amen.
What's up? I can't do that. But old things pass away, all things become new.
Thank you.
That's a decision. That's a decision. What can you decide? I'm not through yet. What is Matthew 18:19? Can I read it to you?
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready to change directions just a little?
Yes.
Not really leave it, but just let's add to it, line upon line, precept upon precept. We're going from glory to glory.
Yes.
Let me preface the scripture by this. You people are here not by accident today, but by assignment.
Yes.
I don't know what the enemy's told you, but you have an assignment. It's here. I'm disappointed there's not more because I'd like to see a lot more with the same assignment. But let me just put this to one side. Let me say a couple of... Can we speak some family things right quick? This is not the vision that I have. This is what I see. There's a difference. This church has a problem. The root is the enemy. It's not the people. If I were to draw a picture, I'd draw circles in this auditorium. And I'd send you to your circles, and what you're doing is you're defending your circles. And you're doing it because it's yours. And the truth of the matter is you have nothing. This church is not mine.
Yes.
You're not mine. I'm not even mine.
Yes.
It says I'm not my own. Stop defending who you are. Stop defending your position. Stop defending your title. Stop defending what you think your assignment is. And start speaking some blessing, some truth into it. If you think it's without form and void, speak light.
Amen.
Well, I don't know how to speak light. Then ask God how to speak light.
Yes.
But you have to stop defending yourself. As long as you defend yourself, God can't do it.
Amen.
Can't do it. How do we get up past this point? I could spend here and take 30 minutes chewing on you. Because you got to admit, starting with you, Bill, and everybody in here, you need chewing on. You're not treating this place right. That song, Sanctuary, was given by God. It was the first song she ever wrote, and she did it out of experience in this place.
Yes, yes.
Well, she's perfect now. No, I've not heard one of you tell me Jean's perfect now.
Perfect.
But she's more perfecter. I'm from Texas. I can use weird words. Stop trying to make things happen. You speak a vision and let God make it happen.
Yes.
Keep your hands off, because anything you touch, you taint.
Yes.
Why? Because God doesn't need your help.
That's right.
He needs your... Now let's move to this. Agreement. Here's what God needs from you, me, this church, in one accord. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them.
Amen.
What did I just do? I hope that I gave you a vision beyond yours. See, here's what's strange about God. He's not going to do anything without you. Not one thing will God do without you. I don't know why. I wish He would. But here's what He will do. If you agree, then you can rest and watch Him do it. But do you remember this? In Genesis, He entered into His rest, and He hasn't gotten up since. We need to stop asking God to do anything and begin to believe that that scripture is self-supporting. What are you saying, Stan? I don't know. But I can tell you this. God can rest and recreate at the same time. Why? Because your rest enters into Him. And there's a force that comes from that that changes everything. He doesn't have to work. You don't have to work. The work gets done. But the minute you get out of your rest, you ask Him to get out of His. It's as typical with Christians. God, can you change that person? No. Why am I changing Him? I made Him. You change Him. You have a burden on your heart, you change Him. Well, how do I change it? Well, give Him back to me.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Cast all your cares.
Yes.
He'll do the caring. See the rest that I'm talking about? One of the best things that I've learned in the last couple of years is how to throw things at God. I preached a message to you one time. Go back in the archives. You'll find there's a message. It says, God, as close as a trash can. And I was afraid to say what was in my heart. My heart was, God is a trash can. Mm-hmm. Just cast all your trash, your cares, your burdens on Him.
Yes.
That's. Man. If I said that, I figured we'd cover the trash pretty fast. You're not insulting Him by throwing insulting things at Him. So if somebody insults you, don't be insulted. Give it to God.
Amen.
See if God gets insulted.
Amen.
I want you as a body to agree on something. One that everybody in here is great.
Amen.
I didn't say they weren't weird. Because I'm weird. But I'm great.
Amen.
Let me say something to you. You have to say it. I use this often. If I walked in here today and I said, I'm the husband of Connie Setliff. I'm her husband. Don't you know I'm her husband? And I said that over and over and over. You would probably begin to think that I don't totally believe that.
Yeah.
You're right. You shouldn't. Because I cannot be her husband until she says so.
Yes.
Right.
Now let me tell you. Richard's bad. Richard, you ain't worth shooting. Well, all right. That's true. But if I say, Richard, You're a man of God. You're a man of God. When does he become a man of God? When I say so, or when he says so? Right. Factually, I start seeing him as a man of God. But truthfully, in creation, he becomes a man of God when he says so.
Yes.
That's where the will stays.
Yes.
The will is there.
Yes.
Please, I can say, I'm the boss of this church. Well, you know what? I'm full of baloney. Because what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to use a power to make you do something. When in reality, if I make you do it, it's going to be tainted.
Right.
And I need to get back up and say, let me see. Did you know that when was Jesus announced as the Messiah?
When he was born.
When he was born. Who announced it? Somebody else. Did you know that you're not going to find anywhere in there where he stands around and says, do you know I'm the Messiah? I'm the Messiah. I'm the Messiah. He didn't do it. Why? Because if God's authority is not there, your statement doesn't make it real. Okay? I either need to walk in the calling, walk in the anointing. Let's take this down. You going around saying I'm a Christian don't make it real.
That's right, right.
It don't. When the Holy Spirit sees your lifestyle agrees with the Word of God, now you're a Christian.
Amen.
You don't have to go around saying I'm a Christian. Don't put it on your butt or your bumper. Just be it.
Amen.
How do you be it? You do the Word. You make the Word important. If it says thou shalt not, you don't do it. Now that's not religion, thou shalt not. What thou shalt do is what makes you a Christian. It's very easy to give up drugs if I'm high on Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
I don't need alcohol to boost me into a better feeling.
Amen.
I got a good one. I don't need tranquilizers to make me peaceful. I am filled and live in peace.
Amen.
I have peace that passes all understanding. That means I'm at peace when you don't think I should be. And you don't understand it, but I do.
Amen.
You get in my face and start yelling, I smile back. You're going to go, what's wrong with you? We kind of misjudged that situation, didn't we? The guy that's doing the yelling and screaming is the one that's got something wrong with him.
Amen.
I need you as a body. Would you all like to see me go home happy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You love me enough to do that?
Yeah.
I wasn't joking. I wasn't fooling around. Do you love God enough to do that? That's the main thing.
Yes.
Then this is red letter I just read you. If you want something changed in this house, you will say, you will hear Jesus say, assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven, but whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven.
Amen.
You ready to loose? You bind the enemy.
Yes.
Not the people.
Yes.
Amen.
There's
yes.
only one enemy. You bind that enemy and you loose the people.
Amen.
By the way, that's why you bind the enemy, is to loose the people.
Yes.
And the minute you get that straight, it is done in heaven. That's what that scripture says. Jesus said it. Well, you don't know that old lying reprobate. Loose him! How? Loose him from the words. Quit calling him a liar reprobate. Stop pronouncing something on him. Except, I believe you're a child of God. I believe God wants you saved, delivered, and healed. That's what I believe about you, and I'll never see you any other way. You may choose to go to hell, but you'll do it against my wishes. Wouldn't it be nice if Christians went around and just acted that way?
Amen.
I'm going to do everything I can to shield you and help you and minister to you. It'll always be your choice, but I'm going to do it without your choice. I'm not waiting for you to vote that I'm your minister. I am. You see me do my little... Does that look like somebody you want to mess with? God told me the enemy scares him. It scares him, Bill. If I'm going to scare somebody, I'm going to scare the enemy.
Yes.
Amen.
I don't scare people.
Yes. Amen.
I don't need them to salute. I don't need them to say, yes, sir. I don't need them to bow down. I don't know if y'all remember this, but I was wearing this ring one time, and a man within the church came up and kneeled down and kissed this ring. And I'm going, what in the thunder are you doing? There are some things that can catch you off guard, but nothing needs to change your thinking. That was unnecessary, unmerited, and unwanted.
Amen.
And we had a discussion later about it. What? You're a bad guy. No. I don't want that. If you think neither kissing my ring or any other of my parts is going to affect anything, it won't. My mind is made up. You're good. Everything around me is good. Life is good. God is good. And the future is good. And if I just stay in that, then when the future gets here, it's going to be indeed very good.
Amen.
That's the promise of God. That's the promise. I need you to agree. The vision of this church is we're going to minister to ministers. That doesn't mean that ministers come in here with their shirts on backwards and all that kind of stuff. It means that there are future ministers that are going to show up here. They're those stall-fed calves that can't even stand up. If they try to run, they fall. They're beautiful. Those calves are beautiful. Their faces are gorgeous. But they can't move without falling. They need somebody to teach them to drink, teach them to eat. Do you hear me?
Yeah.
Ministering to ministers, it means this church may not run 10,000 people, and it may. But if it doesn't, the people that need to be ministered to become ministers, are going to show up here. So where is the pressure? It is not on the people showing up. It's on the people that think they're ministers.
Amen.
Stop thinking you are and be one.
Amen.
You can't defend yourself and help somebody else.
Right.
Jesus laid his life down to prove that. So what's around you today? Good people, a good church, good word, good friends, good fellowship, good future, healing, salvation. I didn't hear one amen.
Amen. That's right.
I'm just telling you the truth.
Amen.
Good spirit. Spirit-filled worship and ministry. Good hope. Good trust. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
If, let me give one more key to your life. If you'll listen to me, your life will change. You don't have to worry about who you can trust if you trust God.
Yes.
Because He backs up your word. I trust you, God, means I am safe.
Amen.
He's the one that said no weapon formed against you will prosper. So I must rest in that.
Amen.
What I give you is this much of magnificent ideas, and I'm probably giving you 100 today. Please don't let them slip. Get the CD. Listen, 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 listen. Get the one from Thursday night. I didn't minister. I gave a whole bunch of one-liners. And they're great because I wrote them down the plane as I was coming. They will change your life if you'll believe them.
Yes. Amen.
Okay. One more direction. I've got plenty. Jesus Christ is my hero.
Yes.
Amen.
You understand that?
Yeah.
He is God, but He wasn't God when He walked this earth. Please don't let anybody tell you that He was God when He walked this earth. Because that takes away that your ability to do the things that He did. Because you're not God. Please. Please don't be deceived. Your power will be taken away if you believe anything else. He was not God on this earth, but He walked with God. He pleased God. He did. His whole goal in life was to please the Father. I've said this before. Let me hit you with it again. Jesus did not die for you. He died for the Father. That's how serious He was about pleasing the Father. Why do you say that, Stan? Because I want you to understand that's your job.
Yes.
Don't tell me you're Christ-like and you don't even care if you please the Father. Then don't tell me you're Christian if you're willing to walk on somebody to get where you need to go. That's not the way Jesus did it. Jesus was ministering. He could minister to 20,000 people. And if somebody touched His robe, He said, power has left me. Why? Because His goal was people, not crowds.
Amen.
He didn't like crowds too much. Sometimes He'd just disappear and go somewhere else so He didn't have to be in one. But He knew He had to minister. I'm trying to talk to you about you. Jesus Christ. That's not his name.
That's right.
That's his description. Christ means the anointed one. The anointed to what? Well, several things. The same. Did you know Jesus is anointed the same thing you're anointed for? There's only one thing you're... Well, no, everything. I'm just going to leave it at that. You are anointed to be birthed. You're anointed to be raised. I wrote that down. Let me see if I can figure out what I did with it. Yeah, that's it. You're birthed for a purpose. You were raised in a temple. Most of you were raised in some kind of religious training.
Yes.
Or you wouldn't be here today.
Mm-hmm.
He studied. Guys, you can't minister to anybody unless you've studied.
Amen.
I had a guy walk in one time and tell me, you're one of those guys. Or what is that? You're one of those guys that think you can hear a word from God and just speak it.
Amen.
Yeah. Your point? You can't stand in front of a crowd and minister unless you've studied at least 40 hours. About what I ministered? Yes. About that message that you're going to give. I said, you're full of baloney. Who do you think you are? Do you know who I am? I'm Dr. So-and-so. I said, you're full of baloney. That's what David said. Dr. Baloney called Goliath and said, I'm going to cut your head off. And David said, I'm going to cut your head off. Yeah. Doesn't hurt to say the word back. Change it around. We know which one came true. But you're birthed for a purpose. You're raised in the temple. You got to study and pray continuously. Because that's what Jesus did. The Bible says that he was in the temple daily.
Amen.
Not once a week. The guy said that you need to study 40 hours. He's exactly right. You need to study 40 hours somewhere about something so you can have 10 minutes worth of good conversation. Just translate that into life and you'll understand that you have to spend a lot of hours. If God's going to tell me that I got to get up here and talk to you, I have to make sure that what I'm telling you is true. That means I've got to study and study and prove and write down scripture and believe. Believe me on the shadow of a doubt that when I stand up here, God's going to back up what I say.
Amen.
The only way that can happen is when I know for sure that I've proven it to myself, then I can prove it to you. Jesus never once worried about provision. You know what Christianity, the biggest problem with Christianity is? Sure, I'll come to your church. But I need $5,000. Well, I have to pay my bills. Really? Let's study the life of Christ. Well, he was a carpenter. You never read that?
Nope.
You heard it. Jesus never worked a day in his life. And yet he had a crooked treasurer that said, we got enough money in here to feed 20,000 people. Would you like for me to go to the store and buy food for these 5,000 plus women and children, wives? That's 20,000 people. He had the money. Jesus had the money. After a crooked treasurer, he had the money. What are you saying, Stan? Where are you looking for your provision? Is it your job? Because if it is, that's your limit. You can't rise above what your job can pay you. Is it God? Then it's far beyond anything you can think or ask.
Amen.
I've been poor. I've been rich. Rich is better. Poor is bad. Amen. Speak it. I don't want to be poor. I refuse to be poor. It's against the Word of God. It's against the example that Jesus set for me. If you're going to be my hero, then look at him as a rich hero. Don't look at him as a poor one, because you have to make up the poor. He always obeyed God. How do we know? Listen carefully. He always served others.
Yes.
He always obeyed God, the evidence being he always served others. That means if you're not serving or you're living for somebody, you're not serving God. Let me say it another way. Y'all looking at me funny. You were never called to be a pretty boy.
Mm-hmm.
You were called to be a servant. The Bible says you are a slave, Harry.
Amen.
You're a slave to love. And it's not talking about her. It's talking about the love that God has for his people. And you are to serve for his people.
Amen.
You have no other reason to live. Well, can I go take a job? Sure you can take a job. Sure you can. Just understand that's not your provision. That's part of your walk, but it's not your provision. I don't know if it was the last time I was here, but you remember that I walked in and I gave you a $4,000 tithe check for 1 month of unearned income. I didn't get it off the church. I didn't get it off my work, unless you call this my work. But I don't ask. I put more money into this church than you'll ever pay me this morning. I've already done that. Just today I've done that. And I didn't ask you for anything, did I?
Nope.
Paid my own airplane ticket. I'd have rented a car, I'd have stayed in a motel, I'd have done anything to get here to you this morning. Why? Because it ain't coming out of my paycheck. God's got to pay it. Can I tell you something? If it takes my sacrifice, you're not worth it. This is not sacrifice, this is joy. Please understand, this is a joy.
Amen.
Now you're worth it. You bring me joy. I come up here just to get joy out of you. Come on, y'all need to say amen once in a while. He quietly led by serving. His service was by example. He even taught Paul. Paul wasn't even with him, but he taught Paul to say this: if you'll do it the way I'm doing it, you're going to be okay. Now, come on, guys. Let's get up against the wall. Let's look in the mirror and let's say, can I say that to anybody? And if I can't say it to somebody, I need to change.
Yes, right.
I will boldly stand before you this morning. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. You do it my way and you're going to be in good shape. Why? Because I've studied to show myself approved.
Amen.
And I've studied and I've studied. And I can tell you, I can find no flaw in what I'm telling you today. And you can study and you'll find no flaw. I've never been any more sold in anything in all my life than what I'm telling you this morning. I've never been sold anything in all my life more than what I'm telling you. If this group will agree, this group will grow.
Amen.
If they disagree, they'll shrink.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a law. I have to invest in you. If you want something out of her, you're going to have to invest something in her other than a command. You want something out of him, you're not going to get it by a command. You're going to do it by loving and by giving. What? What do I have to give? Well, one, you have to give patience because he's not perfect. Don't tell anybody. We just acknowledge we're all people. That means, you know, old Kemp over here, he's weird. Y'all know that about Kemp? Probably don't know anything about Kemp, do you? Why? Because he's weird. He stays to himself. He's quiet. This is a warrior right here.
Amen.
Don't cross him. Especially don't cross him in the spirit because he's a warrior. He's a mighty man of God. He won't even admit it to himself. When he begins to admit how mighty he is to God, he'll do mighty things.
Amen.
And it's not the first time I've ever told you that, is it? I still see you no other way. I refuse to see you any other way. Why? Because God's given me a vision. He's right. Even if it's about you, you're wrong. He's right. I guarantee I've talked to all of you before. Most of you deny what I've seen about you. Most of you denied what I see about you. You're wrong. I'm right. Because I trust God in what he says.
Amen.
Old Bill here. Bill, you are a screw-up. One of these days I'm going to sit there and let you preach, but it's going to take a lot of boldness on my part. Bill does what most of us do. We get comfortable, and we don't even realize that we've got a spiritual walk until battles show up. Can I tell you something? What we need to do is be creating battles. I don't mean controversy, which we will do. Is Jesus your hero?
Amen.
Did he create any controversy?
Yeah.
Okay. Then let's quit trying to be.
Yeah.
I'm old enough to know what that means. It means I'm going to tell you a lie. Everything's good. It's only good when you put these down and you raise this one up and say, God, I'm yours.
Yes.
Putting the flower in the end of a rifle barrel doesn't get it. If you're going to draw the rifle, shoot. If you're not, put it down. You know, God does, he works strange. My son Jason is hard after God now. Harder than he's ever been in his life. So is my daughter. And I'm talking about tangible. I've spoken faith long enough. It's time to see tangible things.
Amen.
And he was at the house, or I was at his, whatever. And he said, he's in a special ops unit. I should clarify so we're not talking. He's in the military, special ops. He's called for special missions. He goes to Iraq, he comes back. He goes to Afghanistan, he comes back. But he said, Dad, I'm trained, and I'm ready, and I've got the finest equipment, and I'm loaded with bullets, and I can't kill anybody. They won't show up. And I'm dying to kill somebody. Oh, that's a Christian. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Guys, listen to me. You are trained. You are equipped. You've got the most powerful equipment in the entire world. And God loves it when you hate the enemy.
Right.
And you won't pull the trigger. Okay, you're looking at me funny. Let me give you a picture. I love it when you look at me funny. It's a challenge. Moses was doing the will of God. He led his people. And he walked up to this pile of water. And he couldn't cross. Oh, the story gets good here. No, it gets better later. But right here, the people start saying, I hope you're not the people. They start saying, why'd you bring me here to die? I know y'all are not saying about this church. I know you're not. I don't like that. Why did you lead us here? Why didn't you just let us die back over there in comfort? Moses said, God, you heard the question. I don't have the answer. God says, Moses, shut up. Take the stick, point it to the water. Stop your yapping and start listening. And the water divided and dried. And they're going like this. And God says, hey, Dodo, get walking. I've provided something for you. Use it. Come on, I'm trying to get real, kind of like the way we deal with God. They went across. Here comes the good part, warrior. Here comes the good part. I want to see if anybody's up to the challenge. They get on the other side. They turn around. Here comes the army. Thousands, chariots, weapons. They're coming at them. The people said, you brought us over here to die. Why didn't you just let us die back over there? Moses said, I don't know. What's the answer, God? God says, kill them. Now let me tell you how it really played out. God says, point the stick at the water and the water will cover them up. Now come on, Christians, you warriors, you people that think you've heard God before, which one of you would pull the trigger? If you knew that 10,000 people would die tomorrow, you doing what God told you to do, which one of you is bold enough to pull the trigger? You know it's God. How do you know it's God? Because all you have to do is point a stick. He pulls the trigger. But it's on you. You got to point the stick knowing what's going to happen.
Amen.
Do you trust God?
Amen.
There's another message on there. Pick it up and explain this stand. It's called faithful, not responsible. You need to learn how to be faithful and accept no responsibility. Otherwise, you'll never do great things for God. Jesus quietly laid down his life so you could grow. By the way, I need to finish the story. My son went out and he had to kill some people. He came back. I said, was it what you thought? Nope. I said, see, training doesn't always make it like it looks. But there's no condemnation.
Right.
You're called to do what you're called to do. Don't be responsible. He quietly laid down his life so that you could grow. Jesus laid down his life so that you could have and grow. Are you willing to do that? You willing to do that?
Amen.
You've got to be willing. If you're going to be like Christ, I didn't say a minister. I said if you're going to be like Christ, you've got to be willing to lay your life down so somebody else can grow. You've got to be willing to say, step on me. With a grin. See, faith people know that stepping on me is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Because I'm going to prosper because of that. I'm going to be blessed. Jesus is extremely blessed this day because he got stepped on. Here's the rough part. We got to die so that others can live. Well, you mean I got to get crucified? Yes. It says take up your cross and follow. I'm finally figuring out what that means, Bill. It means exactly what I'm talking about here. My flesh does not want to be walked on by you. This boy don't like to be pushed around. You better believe that. You don't know me well, but you better believe it. I like to push, but I don't want to be pushed. So what I have to learn is that there's nothing wrong with being pushed. It's a good thing. Go ahead. Push me. But what's going to happen? I don't know. God's in control. I'll either hit you. I might not. We may get hit by lightning. Who knows? It's God that's going to take it. Push away. I'm not afraid. Are you? Rather than saying, you know who I am? I thought I did, but now I don't. I thought you were a man of God, but now I see you're not. You're somebody with a title. What's my name, Bill? I think you would remember that. What's my name?
Stan.
What's my name, Patrick?
Stan.
Yahweh Ben Yahweh. Stan.
What's the last? That's my name. You know who gave it to me? My Father.
Yes.
Y'all know what Yahweh means? Father. You know what Ben Yahweh means?
Father.
Son of the Father. My name is Yahweh Ben Yahweh Stan Christ.
Amen.
God showed me that one day. You nearly had to pull me off the roof. I am a son of God, and I'm anointed.
Amen.
The world has given me the name Stan, but that's not my main name. Who are you?
Yahweh.
You're who you say you are. God has given you his name. Let me say it one other way. I drove up in a Pontiac. Right? Pontiac. I could go around here and dance and say in the name of Pontiac, in the name of Pontiac, in the name of Pontiac, all I wanted to. But until I get in that name and go, I go nowhere. The Bible doesn't say throw around the name of Jesus. It tells you don't use it in vain. It says, get in it.
Amen.
Get in his name. In his name. That means everything he's ever walked and talked and said, you get in that. Now you got a vehicle that's going to carry, accomplish, and no weapon can stand against it.
Amen.
Let's quit flinging it around like it's some hammer. It's who he is. It's who I am. That's what in his name means. Yahweh Ben Yahweh Stan means who he is and who I'm in. Amen. No. You say it. Amen.
Amen.
Come on. Agreement is what I'm after from you for today.
Amen.
I want you to agree that this is working here. Die so that others might live. But here's the good part. He was resurrected by a thankful Father so that Jesus might continue in us. If he was in the grave, he couldn't be in us.
Right.
He was resurrected by a proud Father. At the end of your days, you want to be resurrected by a proud father?
Amen.
Or you want the pauper's grave? Don't eat the delicacies of paupers. The Bible says, greater love hath no man than he lay his life down for a brother. That's a formula set there by God himself. We're not doing anything until we lay our life down for somebody else. That means I no longer want what I want. I want what's best for you. I said when I walked here the other night, I saw everybody wanting to do what's good for themselves. I want you to agree right now that that's changed.
Amen.
Can you do that for me?
Amen.
I want you to agree that that's changed. I want you, Bill, I didn't hear anything from you.
Yes.
Okay. Listen, if this man is going to lead, he's got to be the least, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
This is Amway in reverse. This is a pyramid scheme in reverse. The one on the bottom is the most extremely blessed. Okay? That means I decide I'm on the bottom. I'm not lowly, but I'm on the bottom. Now all I have to do with this walk that I have is I just got to get up with you on my shoulders.
Yes.
No problem. I can do all things. God makes me a conqueror. So hear what I said. If I follow the word, if I obey, if Jesus is my hero and I design my life after him, God makes me prosper. He makes me more than a conqueror. God does that to me. And then he does it through me. How? What do you mean through me? He causes me to do that to somebody else.
Amen.
It's not enough that I get to be more than a conqueror. If I can't convince you that you're there, I've wasted the calling. I've wasted the anointing. It's like being able. It's like being a savant in violin, and I never play the violin. You know I'm a violinist? No, let's hear some. Then I know. What about a Christian? You know I'm a Christian? No, let's see some. Then I'll know. Show me what it looks like. It's what the world's crying out for. They come here hurting. You make them leave mended. That's your job. That's what you were saved for. You were saved from something into something. You weren't just saved from something. God has a job to do. I read you, he's resting, right?
Yep.
Well, somebody got to do it. God's not going to do it. You got to do it. Well, sounds like a lot of work. No, 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 no. Never once ask you to work.
Right.
I promise you, why don't you just look back now and look what the works of your hands have brought you. And tell me, do you want to continue to do that? Or would you like a new creation? I like all things made new. That means, God, these hands are worthless. But you gave me all this talent. No, 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 no. Don't put any value on your talent. Let God decide what's of value to you. You remember, this is alive in me. When God directed me to go to that church down there, the pastor was a wreck. It didn't take me but 5 seconds to understand that church was in trouble. The man lost a wife. He lost another wife. He lost 2 children. The devil is saying, see, you're just a no good because everything around you dies. I didn't know that's what was being said, but I've had it said to me. I said, God, what do you want me to do here? Because this sounds like a whole bunch of crap. There's profit. Without form and void, something needs to change. So I said, God, what do you want me to do? Do you think I wanted to get some more on me? No, but I'm willing. See, it'll make you know what you want. What are you willing to do? I said, okay, God, what do you want me to do? He said, you get there in that seat, and you sit there, and you don't do anything. And I'm going to show you what your presence will do. Whew. I've heard a lot of things, but I hadn't heard that one before.
Amen.
New every morning. New every morning. So I said, God, I believe I can do that. Easiest assignment I ever had. Never had him ask me to do nothing before. So I sat there. My wife sat there. We came right on time and we left early. That way you make sure you don't do anything. You don't get involved. I don't want to get that stuff on me. You know what happened? Within a week that I made the commitment, the pastor said an angel got in my car and said to you, I'm fixing to take your entire burden. You won't have any when I'm gone. Now nobody's ever heard that one either. And when that angel took those burdens, that man now walks on top of the pews. He's crazy. He got born again. He even new things became new.
Amen.
You can't hold him down. And truth comes out of him like you wouldn't believe.
Amen.
I don't think he's very bright. I don't think he's too smart. God forgot to ask me.
That's right.
He just anointed him to do things he couldn't do.
Amen.
The church is growing. I'm still sitting there doing nothing, saying, yeah, God, go. Woo-hoo. I don't know this man. He's a distant man. He doesn't get involved with anybody. He stays way away. So that's fine. You know me. I don't mind that at all. And one day he walks over and he says, Stan, that is your name, isn't it? Yeah. Would you like to preach Wednesday night? No? But I will. That's what you want. Would you like for me to preach with you? Yeah, okay, I will. So, I preach, I sit back down. He goes, that's good. What'd you think I was going to do? Bad? What'd you ask me for? It was going to be bad. You know? You ever analyze how you respond to things sometimes? Anyway. And so I'm doing nothing again. My wife's doing nothing. And he walks over and said, would you like to take Wednesday night again? No, but I will. It's a lot easier to be lazy than it is to work. And if you ask me to teach, then that means I've got to study. I will not show up here to talk to you unless I'm studied and sure. That's an insult to you. So now, I study every week. We're going along. He stands up. I guess that's Sunday before last. I'm losing track of time. Last Sunday, whatever. No, Sunday before last. And he says, Pastor Stan will be preaching Wednesday, Sunday, and Wednesday. I never told you, Pastor Stan. What are you trying to put on me? Here comes some more of this crap. Pastor is spelled C-R-A-P. Because you're fixing to get it, aren't you? I promise you. People are going to come to you and they're going to tell you some of the nastiest stuff you ever heard. And your job is to smile and say, God loves you. And we need to get this changed, you understand? But God loves you. God finds a way to convict without condemning. But it has to involve love. If I told you some of the stuff I've heard, you would call me a liar. You would call me a liar because you think I was making it up just to be colorful. And I'm talking about people you know. Yeah. But you don't know. Are you willing to be agreeable in this place?
Yeah. Yeah.
That means you love what's not lovable.
Yeah.
You speak a truth that's not yet tangible. Is God in this place?
Yeah.
Did God found this place?
Yeah.
Did God bring you here so he could let you die?
No.
There's people that have left prematurely and they're going to miss out. If you will believe, if you will rest in what you're agreeing with today, you'll see this place, you'll see you in this place. The two things. This place and you in this place prosper and be in health.
Amen.
And then you'll see people come in because they can smell something they never smelled before. And it's not crap.
Amen.
It's good. It's the sweet smell that you go up into God's nostrils that's going out. That's not a cultural statement. That's a scriptural statement.
Amen.
Now that's at least three sermons.
Amen.
I only charge you for one. Bill, will you commit to these people? All right, that's okay. Go ahead. Can you all get excited about this? Or is this just for me?
For me.
Have you got any rhythm, Patrick? Sorry about that. Y'all just bask in a word from God through music, okay? That's you. Have the spirit of the Lamb. I do not. I am ornery. And some people might say me. That's not true. Ornery, yes. Hard-headed, You don't understand how hard-headed I can be. Determined? Yeah.
Amen.
Easily persuaded? No. All of these things God loves. Why? Because that's who he is and that's who Jesus was. And his mind is made up. My mind is made up. My mind is made up about you. Let me make a commitment to you. Bill, will you make a commitment with me about this?
Yes.
Ooh, that's dangerous. I haven't said it yet. That I refuse to believe anything bad about any of these people?
Yes.
Or any that are to come?
Yes.
And I won't be bad to them.
Amen.
I'll give them so much grace, it'll surprise me and you.
Amen.
I don't even know where it's going to come from, Bill. I'm not full of grace. I don't have a lot to give. But such as I have, I'll give.
Amen.
I commit. You know what that means? That means God's got to give me more if I'm to give more.
Yes.
And he's got plenty. You'll treat him that way.
Yes.
With tremendous respect. You'll treat him like it was your baby that's messing the diapers. You'll love him. They'll even pee in your face once in a while. You pull their diaper down, they pee right in your face. And your love stays the same. Y'all can demand that from him. If he doesn't give it to you, you can speak it until he gets it. I mean, until you get it. And by the way, if he doesn't comply, God will send somebody else that will do it that way.
Right.
I'll say that about me. I'll say it about him. I'll say it about you. God has a job for you, every one of you. And if you don't do the job, you miss out on the reward.
Amen.
Yes.
But you know how hard it is to work with Bill. Oh, really? I think I've known him longer than all of you. I think that's right. He had to learn to live with me. I got the best wife in the world because she learned to live with me. I thank God for her because she did things I wouldn't do. Gave me a gift that I did not deserve. Everybody in here is the same way. You've got a gift you do not deserve. You didn't earn it. God decided it. He gave it to you. One, salvation, and two, whatever follows.
And you're a gift. And Bill's a gift.
And I'm, yes. I've got to call those things that are, they are.
Yes.
I am a gift. I've been sent to you as a gift this morning, the Word of God, which is the gift. I may be a gift, but the Word of God is the gift.
Yes.
Amen.
And if you will do what I ask you to do, if you'll make a commitment to serve God right here and serve each other in the process, God will bless you. Don't expect him to bless you financially if you won't let him bless you spiritually.
Amen.
The Bible says that you give. Everybody uses this as offering, and it is offering, but it's also everything about you. If you'll give, men will chase you down and give to you.
Amen.
What's the one? Man, what if I should have that printed in big bold? That the job, it is my job. Say it?
Ecclesiastes
2. Y'all know that scripture? You don't mind looking it up, do you? What version have you got? Anybody in here have a, huh? Anybody in here have an NIV? This is a promise if you will please God. Pleasing God is not doing what you want. It's doing what he wants.
2:24?
Mm-hmm.
2:26. Okay. The man who pleases him, God gives him wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. But to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God.
Amen. Did y'all hear that?
Yeah.
To the one who pleases God, he gives stability, wealth, sound. Go ahead and read it again.
Knowledge, happiness.
Knowledge, happiness.
And wisdom.
Amen. Okay. Amen. To the man who pleases him, that's God. God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. But to the sinner, that's those that just refuse to obey God. He gives the job, the task, of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God.
Amen.
Now, do you want to know how to get rich?
Yes.
There's the formula.
That statement saved a man.
Yes.
And his family.
I have worked hard all my life. And when I stopped working, I got money.
Amen.
when I started working to please God, instead of working for my provision, God gave me finances. God's given me authority. Now I've got authority not only in the financial world, but right here. Did you know I walked in here with authority this morning?
Amen.
God convinced me of that. That's the reason I operated in it. And I'm going to tell you what happened during praise and worship. I got discouraged by the number, and I had to turn my back on you guys, and I had to start saying, God, you sent me here with a word, and none of the words going to accomplish it doesn't make any difference as one here, God. It's you. I was sent here. You sent me here. There's not going to be a thing but the prophet. You have to cast down everything that's coming against the word, the knowledge of God. So what I've done is I've accomplished what God wanted me to do. I will definitely pay the price. Do you understand paying the price? You know how many calories this has cost me this morning? No, you don't know. But I can tell you I can probably go and sleep for about 4 hours now. I had a preacher tell me the other day I can preach one 30-minute message, and it's like working an 8-hour day. And that's about right. When this church first started, God would move on me and it'd smoke these glasses. You remember that? Smoke my glasses where I couldn't see out of them. And I had to get special lens cleaners to get it off because water wouldn't take it off. Now, thank you, because I don't want to completely fund the lens cleaning industry. I've got it more under control. But yesterday, the day before, when I was ministering, where I was allowed to minister, it started smoking again, Harry. And this tissue didn't even want to bring it off. Do you notice how many times I've cleaned my glasses since I've been at your house? You clean and you clean and you clean because it doesn't want to come off. This is not dirty, Stan. It's the anointing. I don't know where it's going to go. Maybe it'll just knock my glasses off one day and I won't need them anymore.
Amen.
Just cook them in oil. Whatever. What you need to do, not for me, but you need to do for God, is you need to make a new commitment to Him specific about this place. I know, let me tell you something. Let me make it generic. Everybody that I've talked to, and I haven't gotten to talk to everyone, but now we're going to just sum it up. Everybody's had problems with somebody in this church. No, you haven't. You just had problems. What do you do with problems? Well, just cast them down. They're threats. They're warnings. They're lies. Cast them down. Because if you have problems here, you're going to have them over there. If you can't mend them here, you can't mend them over there. Why are you saying that, Stan? Because you're probably the problem. I know it looks like somebody else is, but the problem is you haven't learned to do what Jesus did. That's the problem, which is to love them anyway. Just got to remember this, that one day the greatest divorce that has ever been seen is going to happen, and God's going to say, you go to my house, you go to hell. That's the final divorce. And God will hurt. Because there's a piece of Him He's sending to hell. Mm-hmm. Not by His choice. He'll hurt. If anybody cries there, it will be Him.
Okay.
Because He loves. He'll love you straight in. He won't pass the gates, but He'll love you and say, I wish I could have convinced you. Let's don't aid and abet. Let's be part of His wishes and His desires. All right. Our hearts clear here this morning. Anybody need to bow your heads or have somebody pray with you or whatever?
I'll just make a statement. This word's for me.
Amen. So, and I know it is, Patrick. I know it is. This is not condemnation, but I saw some bitterness in you. I saw some in you. I've seen some in nearly everybody that I've talked to. So what? That's a root you want to pull up. That's all that is. It's a root you want to pull up. Because if you let it grow, you won't like what happens. Just acknowledge it's there. You know, the truth of the matter is, if everything's good, you pull that up, He might let you use it for food.
Yeah.
Just pull it up. It'll be a growth hormone to you at the very least.
Yeah.
Pull it up. And say, thank you, God, for showing me that root. Thank you, God, that you gave me the ability to pull it up, throw it away. And I'm not operating there. I'm not operating there anymore. Whatever I do in this church or any other church, I'm going to do for you.
Amen.
And if people don't like it, I'm still doing it for you. You're the sword. You're the shield. You're my sustenance. You're my provision. I'm going to keep going.
Amen.
They kill me? Absent here is present with the Father.
Amen.
Kill away. I'm not volunteering for the first load, but I'm ready. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you for your attention. You are such a great bunch of people. I don't want to let you go. Don't get mad at me. Pray that I know that God's still doing a mighty work down there. I know that one of my assignments is coming to an end. I feel it. I know it. Don't know anything past that. You're looking at the dumbest person on the face of the earth. I don't know anything except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So when I look at you, I don't know anything about you. I know Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's what I'm determined to see in you. Can you agree that that's what you're going to do here?
Amen.
And the next time that I come, which I really plan to be here within about less than 60 days. I'd like to be here 30. I would want to see some change.
Amen.
Do you want to see change?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, it starts in you.
Yes.
Are you not excited about this?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, Stan, we have to minister to each other like we would somebody walking out.
Well.
Because there's only people here. Mm-hmm. I think we have to start here and work our way out.
The agreement is the healing.
Yes.
It's not the action, it's the agreement. I read you the scripture. It says two touching anything.
Mm-hmm.
You come in agreement, you can have what you ask. So the agreement has to come first.
Yeah.
You have to look at somebody you don't like and say, I like you. You look at somebody that you think has done you wrong and say, you didn't do me any wrong. No, sir. I'll not hold anything against you because what I hold here is held in heaven.
That's right.
Amen.
You didn't do me anything wrong. You got to look at somebody that says, you never have been my friend, and you look and say, you're now my friend. Let God work out the details. Please start saying light into darkness. That's your job. Say light into darkness. Just, I know Bob's an exception, but man. You people like Harry and Marie and Donna and Patrick and Bob and Karen and Bill, you've become much more valuable to me than you've ever been before. I value you more now than I've ever before because of the message that God has given me that I have laid on you. If you want people to become valuable, listen to what I'm telling you. I don't come to you as a messenger with no experience. I come to you as one who God is dealing with about this. Because it's a whole lot easier for me to dislike somebody than it is to like. It's my nature. I want to be left alone. I want to live alone. I want nobody around me. Leave me alone. But God says that's not what I called you for. So I showed up this time and I have filled my days with you. I tried to stay another day. It cost too much money. Ridiculous. We're going to curse that in the airline so we can travel at our leisure.
Amen.
No. God will give me a plane.
Yeah.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? Ooh. I used to fly many years ago. I go into this church. I'm quiet. I don't make any friends. I be quiet. And one day, a guy from across the aisle comes over and says, I don't know what he said. I don't remember the way it worked. But we talked a little bit, and I talked about used to flying. Come to find out, this guy, just a little guy, kind of, you know what that means? Kind of soft. Not a guy I like to hang around with. But he says, you know what? I'm a retired military pilot. And I've got a plane. Where do you live? I'm going to come out there. Can I land at your house? Yeah, there's plenty of room. So he starts landing in my house and we take off and fly. He's nuts. The second time I got in, he said, you take it off. Okay, let's go. He had to correct a little bit, by the way. I'm a little rusty. He wants to teach me to fly.
Amen.
Answer the prayer. Come on, let's go get you an airplane. We get you a Cessna 182. Okay. That way you can carry some people, carry some luggage. Sounds good. How are you going to work this out, God? So you learn to cast your cares. As people put them on you, they may be visions, but they're bigger than you, so you cast them on God. Let him bring them back. Press down, shaking together, running over with understanding, knowledge, wisdom, and ability.
Amen.
That's a lot of scripture wrapped up in one, isn't it? You know who he is? I didn't find this out until we're flying. He's Top Gun retired. He's not just Top Gun retired, he's a Top Gun trainer retired. Do you know what that means?
Best.
I'd land with him upside down. This guy has got more hours on a carrier landings, than most retired pilots have ever had their entire life. Is this an answer? I just realized, well, that's the reason I'm sharing it to you. I'm going to get a plane.
Yeah.
You watch. I'm going to get a plane. And I'm going to go when I want. And I'm going to ask Continental.
But I think we need to start believing for a landing strip.
If you're going to get big and believe for a church big enough that has a property big enough that I can land on it.
Right.
Don't get small. Get big. Otherwise, the helicopter will do it. I'll land right up here. I told you I'm bold. I'm not afraid of anything. I've done this by faith, and I'm going to say it out loud. We're going to Cozumel. My family and I are going to Cozumel for Christmas. Y'all are welcome. I'm not paying. You just let me know how you're going to get there. You let me know. It won't be when. We'll be there a week. And I'll make arrangements. I think I'll be in the penthouse. But if not, I'll be in the suites right below the penthouse. And I'll try to get you one. You think I'm bluffing? Try me. Try me. I like it when God pays. There's another message on there. I know you do. Listen to this one. Get this message. Don't ever live within your means. Live within God's means.
Amen.
Get it. Listen to it. It's a good message. He has to go to work. That's what he's trying to tell me. I know. So you didn't think I knew him.
I got something for you. Last night, I worked with a devout Hindu.
Okay.
Devout Hindu. Guy loves his God. Whatever.
Yeah.
I love him. Guy chases me down as I'm leaving from work with a Christmas gift. You tell me.
No, I'm not going to tell you, but you tell me once it manifests. Something's going to come out of it, right?
Yeah.
You tell me what happens. Because I know you don't know yet, but
no,
you will.
I'm just working here.
Yeah, I just work here part time.
Bless you all. Thank
Bless
you.
Bless you. All right. Once again, if our heart's clear, I'm ready to go. I probably worked up an appetite. Excuse my dress. This is not my preaching clothes, but I don't think it affected the word.
Not at all.
These are easy to pack, okay?
Not at all.
I love you guys. I don't even know who you are, and I love you. There's somebody back there I'm talking to, not you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. I want him to be gracious to you, and I want the Lord to lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. I brought you peace. I'm leaving it with you. Don't misuse it. Amen?
Amen.
Father, you've heard their request. You've heard the desires of their heart. You've heard their amens. You've heard their agreement. Now, I know you're not going to get up from your rest, but in your rest, would you cause us to enter into your rest by loving each other, by opening the doors and saying we're welcoming everybody? And it doesn't make any difference if they bring in here with a crazy song called Joe Bonamassa, by Joe Bonamassa or some other thing. Let's see some new life in this new life church. We desire it. The Bible says that if you agree as touching anything, that you can ask what you will. Teach them to ask and believe according to your word so that something far beyond they've ever thought or asked can happen. And in the excitement, let them rejoice. And in the low times, let them rejoice so that in all their ways, they acknowledge you. And so that causes you to direct their path. I release them into you right now. I release myself into you, and now we walk in peace and joy. And everybody that agrees, we leave changed in Jesus' name. They say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you for your time. I know I've been long.